Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, afterlife science and spirituality, healing, and ways to use your intuitive sixth sense for knowing life on a multidimensional level. And today I welcome Robin Stephen Pays, author of the Edge of Yesterday series, which offers a way for young middle school children to set out on a mission which may at first seem impossible, but as in all of great journeys, we must simply begin to find the way forward past restriction and fear to reach our full potential and to thrive and live our dreams. Hello, Robin, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Robin, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories and insights into the world of metaphysics, science, spirituality, history, and personal growth in order to answer age-old questions about human, spiritual, physical, and energetic life forces to know how life began and answer the question, who are we and how may we improve the human quality of our lives by studying energy and creation. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will encourage middle school students and their parents to engage thoughts of how the past and great visionaries like Leonardo da Vinci have moved society forward in their understandings of time, space, energy, and the possibilities of imagination to create whatever we fully put our attention and efforts on. In understanding metaphysics, we come to know the world and universe in a truer fashion and to advance humanity along the path to greater wisdom for using resources to live well in a better way. Robin, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, an event that may have been a sign of the life and interest they would pursue perhaps as an adult, for I believe we are born with a plan or destiny and spend our life trying to remember it or find it once again. So what type of little girl were you?
You ask really interesting questions, Cheryl, and I'm right there with you, so I feel like we're on a similar wavelength. I have to say that as a little girl, I was always curious, and I wanted to know about everything. I wanted to know about the stars and where they came from and where our place was among the stars and why humans were the way they were and how the life within us sort of took root and grew. And so I remember at a very young age just wanting to know the answer to everything.
Yeah, because I'm sure as a sensitive, creative person, you were seeing maybe adults, maybe other kids doing things that didn't sit right within you. And maybe you wanted to know why they behaved this way, perhaps because you might have had such a strong sense of intuition and curiosity and knowingness that you wanted to fix the world. You wanted to find a way to make things a little better for people, perhaps, who weren't as aware as you were, even as a child. I was that type of kid, too.
Oh, were you? That's so great. That's so great.
Yeah.
I will tell you that one very present moment. So my mother died just last week, just a week ago. In fact, this is a week ago this moment, virtually. And my mom was an artist, and she had her lifelong question was, what is art? She was always curious to know, how do you define art? Who sees it? How do you see it? Why do we all see the world differently? And why do we all value different components? And I think I, at a very early age, that was not my question per se, because my question really, and Edge of Yesterday is the really brings this question to the fore. It wasn't just art that I was I was curious about. It was more connecting the dots between everything. So, sure, what is art? But what is science, and how does it relate to art? And what is music? And does music have an energetic signature that relates to science and art? And what about chemistry? And what about language and music and even human relationships and interactions? And those are the things, you know, sort of I took a cue from her in certain ways, but then I had bigger questions to
Your
ask as well.
mother was very much like you. She was aware that art was an expression of the universe, the creativity of the universal force of life that comes through all of us in inspiration and guides us to bring beauty and love and goodness and through art and music and interactions with people into the world. She had the same question as you and I, that we were looking for, how to know ourselves as more than this physical life and physical world in the essence of our divinity or our how can connection to all that is. And we all seek it in
I think
different
that's
ways.
true.
And I would
Right.
say to you, of course, I'm sorry you just lost your mother, but I'm sure you know that your mother is much, very much present and alive in the universe and the force, and not so very far away. Her energy can be
Oh,
around
her
you.
energy is very present, and I will also say, just by way of background, she was 100, almost 101 years old. So she lived a
How
very good,
beautiful.
long, full life, and she lived it on her terms, and she died on her own terms, and that was just a blessing. I think that we could all aspire to.
Well,
So
that's a beauty. She had a beautiful life, and she had a beautiful
she did.
search for beauty and art in her life. And you,
She
as
did.
a very special daughter, obviously, but as a medium, I know that something more exists beyond the physical life. And so it's very hard for me to say there's a loss, because I know she has found something very, very wonderful in her new state of being.
Oh, well, thank you. I believe that too. I agree with you, and I know she's also with her loved ones, her my father definitely, and her brothers and sister, and her parents as well. I think she told me before she left this earthly plane that she had seen my dad and he was smiling. She had seen her sisters and brothers, and everyone was happy, and I felt so blessed that she shared that with me.
Yes, I did hospice for 8 years as a volunteer, and I heard that from many people. So we just want to share that with our listeners today, even though that's not our discussion. But in a way, it is our discussion. It's the eternal nature of life and our energy and our life force to create in this world. You created through your book and your story, and we're going to go on with that right now. Tell us
Excellent.
about the main themes of Edge of Yesterday and the characters who represent our curious youngsters of today. Like you and I
Sure.
were.
Definitely, definitely. The protagonist of Edge of Yesterday is a girl named Charlie Morton. She's 13 years old. She's very contemporary. She has a kind of a posse of friends she hangs out with, and Charlie is curious about everything. And so she finds in when she lives in Washington, D.C., she is able to go see one of Leonardo's notebooks at the Smithsonian Museum, and in it she sees what she thinks is a design for a time machine. But of course, Leonardo was an inventor. He invented things 400 and 500 years before his after his time. He was a visionary in that sense. And when Charlie sees what she thinks are Leonardo's plans for a time machine, she decides she has to build it, because Leonardo didn't have the science or technology. But in 2018, Charlie does. So for the middle school science fair, she decides to build Leonardo's time machine. Of course, never dreaming that it might work. And there's a bump and a kiss, a little romance, and it ends up it ends up triggering the time machine, and she ends up winging her way back 500 years across six time zones to land in an empty field at midnight under a hail of cannon fire, and only to come face to face with Leonardo da Vinci himself. And her goal is, once there, is twofold. One is to find out the secrets of Leonardo da Vinci's polymathic success. He was the universal genius, not for nothing. He was an artist, as everyone knows, but he was an inventor, an engineer, a map maker, an anatomist, a musician. He truly was the universal man. And Charlie wants to find out the secrets of his success. And then she wants to get home in time to win the middle school science fair.
So as we know, there is no time and space. There's no past, future, and present. There's only creation going on, and our energy can be in different places. You know, when I was a kid, and I saw Star Trek, and I saw that transporter machine, I said to myself, "Well, they're going to make this because anything the mind can think, we can create because it's coming from an inspiration of higher intelligence or
That's right.
universal wisdom." Yeah, so I was very amused with your book because I always think about how I was so sure we could go to the past and the future. And in my journeys as a medium and intuitive, I am able to do that, exactly that, in my mind and higher consciousness. And so perhaps that was the machine of Star Trek, through the
There
mind,
you go.
through the
There you go.
mind. But
Through the mind.
through the mind. Now, why? Well, the main themes also that I found to be very interesting in your book was about growing up and learning to love yourself and others as you discover passions and interests that are really important to you. Because Charlie, she did stick pretty much to her own path and her own interests and desires. I thought that was very impressive. And it's
She
also
did.
the story of becoming aware of first love and your sexual potential while understanding the changes of your body and maturation, which is a very challenging time for most teens. And actually, in one paragraph, you described it, and I could take myself back to when I was 13 and felt exactly the way you described it. So, for parents of teenage children, this book can help your teenagers make sense out of some of the confusion of the changes that are going on in their body, with their relationships, and it's very important to encourage them not to be fearful, but to know that every change is good for us and necessary and brings us to another part of understanding ourselves. So
That's right.
I
That's right.
thought
And it's
that.
also a book. It's a book about following your passion, identifying and following your passion. I think you started by asking me when I was a child what my mission was, or that we were all finding our mission, or hailing, or trying to remember it. And this is a way through childhood to encourage young people, and for parents and teachers also to encourage young people to stick to their mission, to remember who they are and to follow their passion, to become more of who they are and to bring out their knowledge, their love, their wisdom, and their talents into the world.
All right, yes. And was there a special reason you selected Leonardo da Vinci as the man that Charlie was so interested in? Was that your way of maybe showing a way to past lives or interests that affect you in this life that could be perhaps from what you might
Well,
consider a past life?
I have journeyed to several past lives, so I am of that mindset already. I have not experienced personally a past life with Leonardo or as Leonardo, although I'm sure in my imagination as I create these works, this series, I am definitely able to identify with all of the historical figures and characters who I'm writing about. So I do have a way of conjuring that up, whether it's through imagination or a past life experience. I couldn't tell you where one starts and the other one ends.
Well, there
But
is no, that's a good way to put it because, yeah, they're the one and the same. So,
Love.
okay, that's great. But let's go on to talk about what is STEM education? I don't think a
Sure.
lot
So,
of parents out there know what it is.
sure. STEM is an acronym. It stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Those are the technical skills that really are going to become so important for the workforce of the future as they are today. It's sort of how Microsoft and Google and Apple got started was through the STEM subjects. But it is, I like to think that Edge of Yesterday and Da Vinci's Way, the second book in the series, are more than STEM. They are STEAM, which integrates arts and design into those STEM fields, so science, technology, engineering, arts and design, and math, because there is no separation between these subjects. They all are complement each other, and they're all different sides of one coin in a way. And in fact, the acronym that really describes Leonardo's experience, which Charlie comes up with in her interviews with Leonardo da Vinci himself, is mastery. So mastery is math, art, science, technology, engineering, reflection, which are social and emotional skills, including higher consciousness and awareness, but also communication and collaboration and all of those skills that are so important for the sort of the future of our planet through the yarns of storytelling. So story is the mechanism for transmitting knowledge and sharing it and inspiring kids and also having fun with it. You know, it's not just all serious stuff.
Yeah,
It's
life doesn't have to be so serious. We have to
exactly.
find humor. Spirit really wants us to find humor in everything. And if people will allow themselves, their spirit might even be providing much of the humor to help people through these
I like that.
challenging times. You just have to be open to it, and we have to open more and more. But I loved at the end of the first book of Edge of Tomorrow that Charlie says, "What am I supposed to do now? I survived a major time shift, but will I survive this wild place and be able to learn from Leonardo? And even scarier, will I ever get home again?" So now here she is. She's 500 years in the past, which is what she wanted to do, build a machine that would do that. And now she has to deal with, can she get home? So, what is your concept of home? What home beyond home may she have been thinking of in terms of quantum physics or energy concepts,
Well, of
perhaps?
course, quantum physics plays a role in this because we have to understand relativity. Well, at a minimum, we have to understand gravity. And further, we have to understand relativity. And in fact, to write this book, it took me a very long time. I put it away for about 10 years because Charlie, being a girl of science herself, needed certain things to be discovered or confirmed in science and technology to make her time travels possible. So we needed the Higgs boson and the neutrino in quantum physics to be confirmed, which would enable her to go back in time. And the tablet, or the iPad, or the mobile phone, in order to be able to continue to communicate with the future, and her pre which was her present. And so there is science and quantum physics in this book, but in a fun way and appropriate for the age, the reading level of our readers, of our young adult readers.
Exactly. And can you give our listeners an idea of what actually made the time machine transport Charlie backwards in time, as it seems there was a combination of events necessary to make this happen. It wasn't only the
There,
machine, so.
that's true. That's true. She was able to. So there's a scene in the book, chapter in the book, where she goes to take your child to work day. She goes to her father's office. He is an executive at a company, a contractor that does homeland security. And while she's there, she's doing her homework. Her dad has to go to a sudden meeting with the big boss, and she's doing her homework, and she has her computer taken over by a guy who suddenly has hacked into her computer and is showing her all of these, the passage of time from the present to the deep past, and she doesn't understand how, but he has given her the gift of a program that is actually the code that enables her time travel to happen.
And this, and who was this character?
His name is Kairos, and Kairos identifies himself as somebody who is there just in time, which is a little mysterious. He's a little cryptic on purpose, and he also makes her, he won't give her a straight answer when she asks who he is and where he's from. She only knows he's got kind of an accent, and so he must not be from here. He says, well, I may be from the past, and I may be from 25,000 years from now.
Right. That is the truth. I like that. He could be from the past or the present, but there he was to assist her at any rate, because her hopes for doing this were so sincere. And you know, when you put your thoughts and efforts into anything, the chances of having it materialize are much more than if you just want it but don't put the consistent action forward to make it happen. So Charlie was very much that way. And for our young readers,
her best friend Beth, who is equally smart but has gone, let's say, a little bit boy crazy and fashion crazy, and Charlie is a little upset with Beth because she's lost her mind, as far as Charlie's concerned, to go after boys and things that Charlie deems unimportant. But Beth thinks that Charlie has lost her mind because she's so obsessed with Leonardo da Vinci and time travel, and Beth just thinks, you are ridiculous.
Do you remember friends like that when you were that age? I do.
Absolutely.
We all develop at our own time, and sure, some are late bloomers and some are way ahead of their time in growing up. So I like the way in the book you showed that. But let's go on to, what do you think about the words time and space and its connection to physical and spiritual life?
Well, I think those are human constructs, and we have invented them to be able to understand how we live in the present on this planet and what our relationship is to our ancestors and our progeny, our children, and future generations as well. And we think of it as linear, but I agree with you that there's nothing linear about existence. It is all happening concurrently. And that is, in a way, how Charlie is able to time travel, because, of course, her going back in time creates a lot of paradoxes, right? So if she's interfering or intervening in a time 500 years earlier than her own, and teaching Leonardo da Vinci the concepts of gravity and relativity, how does that change the future? And what future would she even come back to if she were able to return to her own time? And so I consulted with quantum physicists and other people about how to make this as realistic as possible, because, of course, she has this science brain, and as I do, I'm a science writer also.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to make it realistic, and so in discussing it, we realized that she'd have to go back to an alternate past. She has to go to an alternate reality in order not to mess up this timeline on this planet that we live in at present. And so that is the mechanism by which we can make this work without the paradoxes shifting our present time into a time and place that couldn't exist.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What would you like readers, young and old, to take away with them after reading the first two books of the Edge of Yesterday series?
It's, to me, the wonderful thing about the example of Leonardo da Vinci as for inspiration for us today, whether you're young or old or anywhere in between, is that we cannot all, of course, have that magnificent gift and talent, artistic gift and talent that Leonardo himself had to create the Mona Lisa and the Last Supper and most recently, the Salvator Mundi that was uncovered, and so many other great works of art. But his greater gift, in my view, is the gift of curiosity. And I'll tell you a quick story. In Walter Isaacson's biography of Leonardo da Vinci that just came out last year,
And I had the luxury or the advantage of hearing Walter Isaacson speak when the book came out. He said one thing that struck him as he was examining all of the notebooks with the copious notes and detailed drawings that Leonardo left was this one inscription: describe a woodpecker's tongue. So, first of all, who thinks of that question? And second of all, what would make a woodpecker's tongue useful for us to describe? And I'll tell you the answer. A woodpecker, when he's pecking on a tree, wraps his tongue around his skull, around his brain. And so when he's pecking, it absorbs the shock of the trauma of the, you know, of the woodpecker on the wood. So think about what that might imply if someone were to take that anatomy and look at it in terms of traumatic brain injury, for example. Mm-hmm. How could we design something that would help reduce traumatic brain injury using what we know about the science of a woodpecker pecking wood? That Leonardo could even think to ask that question. There are so many questions that we can all think of to ask that haven't been asked yet. And then following the trail down the path to the science and the art and the technology that can grow and the engineering that can grow out of those questions is how we are going to save our planet. It's how we are going to reinvent the world. It's how we're going to live into the future. And so to me, that is the marvel of this story and the way that I would love to inspire readers of Edge of Yesterday at all ages to take from that story their own inspiration to follow their passions and follow their dreams and describe their own version of a woodpecker's tongue.
Wonderful. And that is really the hope for the future that you hope for when young people will be reading this book, these
Absolutely.
Books.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to thank you, Robin Stephen Pace, author of Edge of Tomorrow, for sharing a story of how science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and the arts can be appreciated by our young students and can begin to help them think about home, travel, and the consistency of human pursuits throughout generations of seekers for a greater understanding of energy and higher consciousness and the road to mastery that you mentioned before. To purchase these books, go to edgeofyesterday.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discussed how through science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and STEM, the fastest growing sector in employment, we may engage our next generation of workers, visionaries, and citizens to align themselves to a higher view of life through metaphysical experiences and creative thinking. The teenage years are such an important segue to the future of individual needs and to the evolution of our communities and nations. The story of our lives is intimately connected to the past, and that brilliant, enduring past of hope by the many creative souls will always guide us to creating our best lives as we face constant change in technology, science, and environmental needs. Robin and I would have you help your teenage children to pursue their curiosity and engage their energetic and mindful fantasies to begin to connect to life in its multidimensional aspects and potential for personal and collective growth, and not be limited by societal or familial distractions. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about the most creative and expansive authors in their search, their memories, and soul essence for the truth of eternal wisdom and life, and to make this life a more fulfilled, joyful, and purposeful experience. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.